I'm joking. Hi, my name is Emily. It's cool being here because it's my first time preaching at Antioch Center. I feel like a guest speaker, even though it's family, because I've never been up here before. But I'm coming to you from Shilim Campus. I have to head straight back there right after the service. But I'm very honored and privileged to be here to speak the word to you all today. I'm going to start off today with just one question for you. How many of you get really, really annoyed when someone cuts your flow? You know what I mean? Like you're in conversation, you're telling a story, and it's getting to the pinnacle of your story, and then all of a sudden someone cuts in, and not only that, but they're like the life of the party, so everyone thinks they're mad funny, and all the attention goes to them. I'm speaking from personal experience. I have something against sanguines. Cut your flow. You know, sometimes it reminds me of people that are taking attendance. The people that take attendance, you know what I mean? People that, if you didn't notice, there's people that take attendance with their phone on the sides of the aisle, and they're counting with their phones, and they're so focused. They're like, one, two. And then I see when people come up to them because they're standing there, and they're like, where's the bathroom? And they're like, are you seriously going to cut my flow? I was at almost 100. And then they have to start all over again. I see it. Try not to bug them, okay? If you see someone on their phone like this, just ask someone else where the bathroom is. Yesterday, I was trying to sermon prep, okay? Workflow. I'm getting in my flow. And then, I have my headphones in, and then Pastor Christian knocks on the door. Knock, knock, knock. Pokes his head in. I'm like, oh man, take out my earphones. He's like, how's the flow? It was going. Put my headphones back in, and then I'm focusing, and then I see this shadow near the window, and I look up, and it's Pastor Christian with his iPhone. I'm like, are you for real? Go back into my mode. I start working. I'm prepping. I'm doing well. And then he comes in to grab something, and I'm like, okay, I can ignore him. It's okay. It's okay. And then he says something. So I'm like, oh, take out my headphones. Yeah, what's up, Pops? I call him Pops. He's my spiritual father. That's a term that I used to call him. It's an endearing term, okay? And I said, what's up, Pops? And he goes, oh, Em, I just want to make sure, like, if you get hot, to turn on the AC, okay? I'm like, oh, such a loving father, but okay, got it. Put my headphones back in. He comes in again, and I'm like, by this time, I'm like, what? And he's like, hey, you got this. And in that moment, I felt that teenage Emily come in. You know, with that teenage stage where you just don't know how to honor your parents with your mouth. And I took off my earphones. I was like, Pops, you're cutting my flow. And he was, oh, sorry. You know, you got this. I love PC. I don't mind it when he interrupts because he's such a loving, caring shepherd. But man, I don't like it. When people cut my flow, you don't like it. When people cut your flow, but you know what? God, he doesn't like it when you cut his flow either. And today I want to talk to you specifically in regards to cutting God's flow in regards to honor. Everyone say honor. Why don't you guys bow your heads in prayer with me? God, I thank you for this opportunity to be here to speak this message today. I pray, God, that it would be by your spirit that you would speak it to the hearts of every single saint here today. God, I pray that today, even those who are preparing for the leadership banquet, who feel busy and anxious, God, that during this time they would be able to rest and receive. And God, I pray that today would be a day where we would get honor into our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I'm a melancholic. If you guys don't know what that is, it's a personality type. You're a melancholic? Okay. It's a personality type where people refer to them as perfectionists. So it's actually a little bit hard for me to show honor. Why? Because my standard for someone to be honored is perfection. And if my standard to honor someone is perfection, basically the only person I can really honor is Jesus. You know what I mean? Some of you can vibe with me in this room. When you look back in your past of leaders that you've served under, you constantly are disappointed. You know, you honor someone and then they show a little bit of character flaw and then all of a sudden it's like, disappointment. But I'm here to tell you today from experience that it doesn't have to be that way. We are not just supposed to honor Jesus. In this Bible, from the beginning to the end, it's flooded with honor, commands to honor. Not just honor Jesus, not just honor God, not just honor the Holy Spirit, to honor one another, to honor our fathers, our mothers, those human institutions that have been placed above us, our children even. Honor is written all over this Bible. We're supposed to honor upwards, downwards, and sideways. We honor upwards, for example, civil authority, government officials, police officers. Pastor David Ahn got a ticket the other day for jaywalking. What unjust, right? We all jaywalk here. How are you going to be giving me a $20 ticket? That's not the time to be binding the devil. It's time to pray for mercy. We're supposed to be honoring the policeman. Why are you jaywalking anyways? No one does it. Social authority, employers, bosses. Family authority, fathers, mothers, wives, husbands. It says in 1 Peter 3, wives, submit to your husband. But it's not just one way. It also goes downwards. Husbands, honor your wives as the weaker vessel. Not because we're weaker. We can't bench press as much as you. But that's the only difference. And get this. It says that you, if you don't honor your wives, all of heaven is not going to hear your prayers. What's the point of praying if you ain't honoring your wife? Oh, man. Honor. The power of honor. Even this leadership banquet. You know, all our reserve leaders, they're honoring the active level leaders, but it's not just about upwards honor. You know, when it started, it was actually Pastor Christian that instituted it. And it was out of his desire for his active level leaders, those under him, to receive honor for all that they've sowed. Honor flows from the top down and from the bottom up. It also flows sideways. Okay? Excellent example. My roommate, Annie Weiss. Now you might think, of course she honors you. I mean, you're a pastor. Okay, if you've ever seen a pastor in their own house, they're just normal people. All the pastors in the house, can I get an amen? When I'm home, I'm so girly. I'm like, Annie, man, I got my nails done. And like, this girl, I totally wanted a gem on it. And she didn't give me the time of day because of my broken Korean and this and that and this and that. And then I got lost. And then sometimes I find Annie in this stupor. Like, she's like, and I go, hey, what are you thinking about, girl? And she goes, man, I'm just so confused. I honor you and respect you so much. But there's like these little things you do and I just don't get it. But it's powerful. And I don't know if you know Annie, I'm actually very excited to be worshiping with you under the same roof today, but I don't know if you've seen the growth of Annie Weiss. This year, she's a totally different person. And you know what? Every time she has struggles, she always comes to me and asks me for help. And she's gotten breakthrough after breakthrough and after breakthrough. And you know what? It's not because of me. It's because Annie honors the authority that she sees in me. And because of that, see, God, he has life. When we say life flows through honor, life flows through honor. Is that right? Life flows through honor. Yeah. There's life that he desires to flow to Annie through me, and it's her honor that allows it to flow to her. See, dishonor can cut that flow. Now, I think we can all agree that it's really easy to honor those who are easy to honor, right? Come on, I'm coordinating our leadership banquet at Shilim, and I know this is true because the first tickets that were sponsored was Pastor JM and Sky. It's easy, and it's okay to honor. They're, in fact, spiritual authority. That's why we're having this leadership banquet. Spiritual authority is the only type of authority that says that they are worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the preaching and teaching of the word. Come on! Double honor! But today, what I want to talk to you about is not those who are easy to honor, but I want to talk to you about those who we are supposed to honor. Okay, get this very clear. I'm talking about the people we are supposed to honor, but we find it very difficult to see them worthy of our honor. Because the Bible tells us to honor everyone in 2 Peter 2:17. 1 Peter 2:17, sorry. And by not doing so, we are cutting God's flow. We're cutting God's flow of blessing, honor, and life into our own lives. And so the passage we're going to be looking at today is Mark 6, if you guys could turn with me there. Mark 6, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. Now, this passage, Mark 6, 1 through 6, Jesus, he's going back to his hometown. A lot of us who are expats, if you're a foreigner here, we all have that, you know, not all, if we're able, that 2 to 3 week where we go home to our hometown, right? Go back home to the States or wherever it is that you're from. It's kind of what Jesus is doing right now. He's going back to his hometown. It says he went away, his hometown is Nazareth. It says he went away from there and came to his hometown and his disciples followed him. Okay, he went with his friends. Wouldn't that be cool to go home, back to your hometown and bring friends that you met here from Korea to show them your hometown? That's exciting. That's kind of what Jesus is doing. And then it says in verse 2, and on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Pause. Okay, so the tone in which they're speaking is not, man, I'm astonished. Like, where did these things come from? What is this wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? It's more like this. I'm sorry, excuse me. Where did this man get these things? By what wisdom? How in the world are such mighty works done by his hands? Hey, that's the tone in which they're speaking with. And then we go into verse 3. They keep going. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? Aren't they his sisters? Isn't this that homeboy that was in your math class? Wasn't this the carpenter that we told to come into our house and fix the table? And it ends like this. It says that, and they took offense at him. Okay, this, his hometown, they're expecting the Messiah to come, right? This militant, amazing Messiah that's supposed to free them from all oppression. And they wake up in the, I don't know what time they woke up. Okay, I don't even know if they woke up early to go see them. But basically, they come to see this Messiah whom they had a thought of what he would look like. They get on their tippy toes and they look, and it's that boy that moved out, like, next door. And I was happy he moved out because he's a carpenter. And every day it was like, poof. He's the Messiah? Wouldn't you be offended too? Let's keep reading. Verse 4, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor. Everyone say, honor. Honor. Except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. What Jesus is saying, I'm a prophet. And as a prophet, I go everywhere and I receive honor except for in my hometown. Verse 5, and he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about among the villages teaching. When we look at verse 5, there should be a big exclamation mark in our hearts. And he could do no mighty works. Jesus, the guy that there's nothing that is impossible. He could not do It doesn't say Jesus wouldn't do. It didn't say that he was reluctant but chose not to do. It said he could not do mighty works. Why? What did it say in verse 4 before that? Honor. Dishonor. A prophet is without honor in his own hometown. It's a power in honor. And because they were reluctant to honor Jesus, it said he could not do mighty works except for heal a few sick. Now, like, healing the sick is a miracle. Don't get me wrong. But before this, Jesus' ministry, he was raising the dead. Blind eyes were open. Lame could walk. Yeah, a few bad backs. Yeah, runny nose. Okay. But comparably, he's doing a lot less. Why? Because the people in his hometown could not honor him. And so today, what I want to talk to you about is for us, in order for us to not cut God's flow of life, blessing, and honor into our own lives, what are some things that we should keep in mind in order to not cut that flow? You guys with me? Okay. The first thing I want to talk to you about is understanding the power of honor. Understanding the power of honor. See, if dishonor had the ability to withhold God's power, think about how much power there is in releasing honor. The power of honor. See, honor is like a wire that allows electricity power to flow. Electricity power runs really, really fast in a wire. In fact, according to this school that monitors energy, it says that in 1 second, okay, electricity can travel through a wire around the world 7 times. In 1 second, electricity flows around the world 7 times. But if that honor, okay, if that wire is cut, electricity stops flowing. It cuts the flow of electricity. And that's very similar to the way in which we see God's life flowing. It flows to us, but dishonor cuts that flow. Now, we can all agree that all glory, power, and honor belongs to God, right? As if you're a Christian in this place, we profess that God is God Almighty. All glory, all power, all honor belongs to God. God loves honor. He loves to give honor. We love to honor God. We love to worship God. We love to put him up on high because that's where he is, in the throne room. God, he loves honor so much that he sets his kingdom culture as one of honor. But this is when honor gets difficult. It's when God begins to exercise his power through human authority. That's when honor begins to get tricky, right? Remember, I told you that we're talking about people that we should honor, but are very difficult to honor. I know all of us have someone like that in our lives, whether that's upwards, downwards, or sideways. That girl, she ain't done nothing to deserve my honor. That boss, he comes in all grouchy every single day. He gives me so much work, it's like almost inhumane. That boss, I'm supposed to honor him? 1 Peter 2:18, it says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust." See, the enemy, he also understands the power of honor, and he does all that he can to cut God's flow. One way that he does that is through ungodly authority. See, John Bevere, he says this, "All authority comes from God, but not all authority is godly." All authority comes from God, but not all authority is godly. This means that, yes, the person that is above you, that his authority is given to him by God, but his behavior may not. The enemy, he knows this, and sometimes he uses that ungodly authority to cause us to forfeit our honor and move into a place of dishonor, cutting God's blessing into our lives. You know, one way to combat this is to show grace, okay? To look past the weaknesses of your leaders, to look past their weaknesses and support them in all that they're doing. You know, I oversee the CG leaders at Shilim. And one person, actually David O's cousin, Joanna O, she has blessed me so much. Because, you know, I'm not perfect. Sometimes I go into a CG leader meeting, I'm having a bad day, I'm tired, and I'm a little grouchy, and I'll go in. And, you know, as a leader, of course, I'm supposed to set the tone. I'm supposed to be perfect all the time. I'm supposed to make sure that everyone's all happy and positivity is flowing through me. Positivity is not one of my strengths, by the way. And so I went into this meeting, and Joanna, you know, she just sees past all my weaknesses. And even if I'm in a bad mood, she'll just come and be like, hey, Em, why don't you eat this katsu? You know, because normally for me, if I'm in a bad mood, 100% of the time it's because I'm hungry. But she made me eat, you know, and she's like, hey, she's just trying to help me think. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm so flustered. Like, I don't know where to have this meeting. Like, Pastor JM's going to be late, so now I have to go lead swim. That means we're going to have to cut this meeting short. And I got all flustered and I was stressed. And she goes, hey, and she stepped in and she didn't judge me, okay, for me showing weakness, me showing frustration, but she helped me think. She was like, hey, Em, you know what? I think we can just have a short meeting here, and then maybe you can cover the rest after service. And I was like, oh, okay, you're right. And through that support, I began tapping back into who God had called me to be, which is the shepherd of all the CG leaders. See, grace is what allows us to see past the weaknesses of those who we find difficult to honor, like myself maybe, and to support them, and through it, God also brings you honor, blessing, and life. Sometimes with Joanna, she comes to me with some cases where I'm like, I don't even know how to deal with this. But because she honors me so much, I go to the prayer room and I'm like, God, what do I tell Joanna? What can I tell her? God, help me. She honors me so much. I need to make sure that I'm an open vessel for you to flow through so that I can minister to her. And God, man, God has come through every time. Joanna, if you're listening, it's not me, it's God. But so much breakthrough has gone through because she has chosen to honor me. Life flows through honor. You know, personally, two ways to be a little bit more practical, two ways that I like to show people honor. This isn't in the Bible. Okay, these are just two ways that I've observed that I like to show people honor. One is through undivided attention. Okay, if I honor someone, I like to give them my full attention. I've made a decision in my heart. If my phone rings, I'm not going to look at it. If there's like a giraffe pooping over here, that was such a weird example. But it's strange, right? It shouldn't be there, but I don't care. I'm not going to cut my attention. Just get over it. It's weird. I know. Oh, man, that cut my flow. What was I talking about? Two, right. One, undivided attention. Two, one thing that I learned early on was people said that people feel really honored if you learn their language. You know, I learned Korean. Yeah. 하고받을 잘 해요, right? 잘 해요. 저는 중국 사람인데요. Okay? I'm Chinese. I always have to get that in somehow in my preaching. I'm Chinese. Surprise, surprise, if you didn't know. This is the same thing with our leaders. We can learn their language. You know, if it honors your leader to respond to their emails immediately, then respond to their emails immediately. What's holding you back? And if you are struggling with a leader that's just really, really hard to get along with, and there's just no way to honor them, you feel that hopeless, then revert those two things to God. When you're talking to that leader, one, give God your undivided attention. While he's speaking, you're just like, God, I know you've placed him in authority. Keep your eyes focused on God. Two, learn God's language, language of faith. Man, abusive father, abusive mother, God, I know you've called me to honor my father and mother. Not only that, but if I honor my father and mother, you're going to bring blessing into my life. I'm going to have a long and successful life. God, I know that even though my situation may be unjust, God, I know that you are a judge that is just. Speak the language of faith. You guys still with me? God is the source of all blessing, and it is Him working through that person who may be difficult for you to honor that brings you life. It's not that person. See, Annie, she got all that breakthrough, not because of me, but because of God flowing through me. As long as we understand that perspective, that it's God flowing through us, then we will begin to find it a lot easier to honor those whom we are called to honor. God is just using them as a conduit for His power. But if we choose to dishonor, it cuts God's flow. Okay, so the first thing we can do to make sure we don't cut God's flow is to understand the power of honor. Okay, number two, the second thing that we can do to not cut God's flow is to choose to honor from the heart. Choose to honor from the heart. I'm going to start with the first part. Choose to honor. We have to choose to honor. We have to make a choice to honor. Okay. The Greek word for honor is timi. Everyone say timi. Timi means value. To honor means to place value in someone. Okay. Value, something that's making something valuable, precious, weighty, like gold. You don't place gold just anywhere, right? You place it in very special places. That's kind of how honor works. When we choose to honor someone, we're saying, God, I place value in that person. Something that's valuable to me, I place in that person because I see them as special, not because of anything that they've done, but because of how you see them. You know, it doesn't always have to be nasty pagan bosses or, like, you know, controlling parents. But personally, one person I couldn't honor was one of the most honorable people in Korea. If you guys all know Eddie Byun, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. But he's one of the most honorable people in Korea. He was the former pastor of Onuri Church. He was also the head of the fight against human traffic. Okay, human trafficking. He led that movement very powerfully. But, you know, for me, I don't know if it's pride or what, but I was in seminary and, you know, everyone's all talking up Eddie Byun. So for me, I'm kind of one of those people where if someone is getting so much attention, I'll refuse to give it to them. I'm kind of stubborn like that. Yeah, some of you guys are like that too. But I'm not alone. Thank you. But so Eddie Byun, right? So during class, like everyone during lunchtime would all be trying to like, he would sit down and every seminarian would like run with their trays to try to sit next to them and glean from him because he has so much wisdom and he's so awesome. And I'd be like, I'll sit by myself. Sit right here. I don't need no gleaning from him. I got my own spirit. No, I'm joking. But I know I was in a place of dishonor. I knew it, but I chose to dishonor. And in his class, I didn't listen well. You know, I did all the assignments perfectly. I reaped the fruit of dishonor. That was my lowest grade. You know how I told you I was a perfectionist? Graduated, what is it called? Summa cum laude? Yeah, top of the class, but because of Eddie Byun, gave me a B+. My grade dropped down a few 0.00 degrees, okay? But after I got out of his class, which I thought I was given the grade unjustly, still to this day, I don't know what he would say, but I really feel like he picked up on my dishonor, though. That's why. Man, you got to submit to that, you know, that social authority. Your professors, your teachers, they have the power to change your grades. It doesn't matter what you do in his class. I was like, I'm never going to take his class ever again. And then come my senior year, some of you may have heard about this, but my senior year, I had no choice but to take his class. I tried to get out of it. I even signed up for a counseling class called Family Ministry or something. If anyone read that syllabus, you would not want to take it. Like, no one took that class. Syllabus was like 8 pages long or something, and you had to do these family trees and whatnot. So I even went to the first day of that class just because I was like, let's check it out. Maybe it's not so bad. But long story short, I ended up having to take Pastor Eddie Byun's human trafficking class. And everyone was like, just take it. And it's so easy. He's such a good teacher. And I was like, no, I don't like him. No. And then the first day of class, I found myself going there. And I get there and I'm like, I'm praying. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna say hi first. I have so much beef with him. He probably doesn't even know, right? I'm going to say hi first. And I get into his class. I'm like, hi, Pastor Eddie. And he's like, Emily, it's so good to see you. Man, I haven't seen you around. And I was like, wow, you know me. He's amazing. You know so many people, but you remember me. Oh, my gosh. Like, and when you choose to honor, all of a sudden, your heart just changes. And I was like, I really like this guy. And I was in his human trafficking class, and I found even that I had a heart for human trafficking. And what was crazy was at the end of the semester, I even felt convicted to preach a message on the social issue of human trafficking. Some of you may have been there for that. And I was so nervous to preach that message, actually. I felt so unequipped, but at my graduation ceremony, I bumped into him. And he's like, hey, what's going on with your life? And I'm like, man, Pastor Eddie, you know, I wanted to honor you. And I wanted to preach this message because you keep telling us, like, we have to get the word out. I'm going to honor you, but I'm so scared. And he's like, can I pray for you? And I'm like, sure. We're in a banquet, right? He starts praying for me. I break down crying in the middle of a graduation banquet. And I'm just weeping and weeping. And like, through the honor that I showed Pastor Eddie, God's life flowed through me so powerfully. And after I released that message, get this. Someone in the congregation contacted me. And she continues to contact me. And she messaged me every once in a while saying how much that message changed her life. And currently, right now, she's even writing a book on human trafficking because of that message. When we choose to honor, God honors us. God, life flows through honor. You know, in the world, honor has become a choice based on likability, right? You want my honor? You better earn it. What have you done to receive my honor? But heavenly honor teaches us the opposite. Heavenly honor says, you can't earn my respect because I already respect you, not because of anything you've done or your behavior, but because of the authority that God has placed upon you, because of the image of Christ that God has placed in you. It's important to honor from our hearts as well. Okay, remember I said that the second thing we have to do to not cut God's flow is to choose to honor from our hearts. We have to choose to honor, but we have to choose to honor from our hearts. And what that means, what from our heart means, is to have the right perspective. Have the right perspective. You know why? Because we can pay God a lot of lip service. Here in the church, oh yeah, I honor my leaders. Life flows through honor. God loves honor. But is your heart choosing to honor? Because the Lord says this in Isaiah 29:13. He says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me. To honor is not just to pay lip service and to tolerate. Okay? I honor you until I quit. I'll honor you until you leave. I'll go to this family reunion and honor all my family members, but after that family reunion. Sometimes that's okay. I know they're hard sometimes. Are we choosing to honor with our hearts? Because we can pay lip service, but God, he knows our thoughts. Okay, turn with me to Luke 5. Luke 5. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Pause. What Jesus is doing right now, he has these ministers, teachers of the law, all here, and he's teaching them. But the same attitude that these Pharisees have is the same attitude that those in Jesus' hometown had. Who is this guy that thinks he can forgive sins? Wait, why is this blasphemy? What is going on? All in their hearts, in their thoughts. They're thinking these thoughts. And then it wasn't until this guy gets lowered down because he can't walk out of nowhere. Okay, their friends like lower him down in a rope. And it says here, before that guy was lowered down by the rope, it says this: "And the power of the Lord was with him to heal." Jesus had the power in him to heal the people in that room. But the only person that got healed was the one that was lowered into the room. It says, "Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may..." I missed something. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, okay, they didn't say it with their mouth. It says, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts?" Are we honoring from our hearts? Because Jesus, he hears our thoughts. "Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." The power to heal was with Jesus, but it was released only to the one who honored him. It says they didn't say anything, but Jesus perceived their thoughts. God, he desires for us not to just honor. See, honor can be displayed through our mouth, through our thoughts, and through our actions, but true honor originates in the heart. God's healing, his flow, can be cut because of our dishonor. And lastly, one thing that can help us not cut God's flow. The first was to understand the power of honor. The second was to choose to honor from the heart. The third is to not lose sight of his full reward. Not lose sight of his full reward. I want you, this is the last place I'm going to have you guys turn to. Please turn to 2 John 8. 2 John 8. And if you guys could read with me, 2 John 8, ready? Whoever's there can read very loudly with me. "Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward." A what? A full reward. There is a full reward that comes with God's commandments. Exodus 20:12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land and the Lord your God, that the Lord your God is giving you." Okay? It says, honor your father and mother, period? No. It says, honor your mother and father, and your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the first commandment immediately attached with a promise. Long life and successful life. What more can you ask for? A long and successful life. MERS comes? No. MERS, go in the name of Jesus. I've honored my father and mother. I have been promised a long and successful life. There is a reward that comes with honor. You know, in conversation, you know when there's like a break in conversation, there's those few people that are really good at filling that in. They'll come up with a question like, hey, if someone gave you $20 million, would you jump off a cliff? And everyone starts thinking, And you actually start weighing the cost. $20 million, how tall is that cliff? It's not even real, right? It's just to think. But when it comes to God's commandments that are real, we stop at the commandment and we don't think about the value behind it. See, Pastor Benjamin, he said at the retreat that every commandment comes with an opportunity to obey. We are supposed to delight in his commandments, but it's difficult to delight in his commandments if we forget about the reward that comes with it. Honor comes with rewards. John 12:26, it says, whoever serves Jesus, the Father will honor. So what? Whoever serves Jesus, does this mean I just have to serve Jesus, respect Jesus, honor Jesus, and that's it? No. I wish I could say that. That'd be a lot easier. I'm not justifying that it's easy to honor those who are difficult to honor, but that's not the case. In Ephesians 6:5, it says, slaves, obey your earthly master with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, again, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. It says, treat your masters as you would Christ. It doesn't say, treat your masters who are like Christ. See, Pastor Christian, he doesn't actually have to act like Christ in order for me to honor him. In fact, I've seen him do a lot of things that was not Christ-like. But that doesn't change the honor that I have for this man at all. I will never be able to move from this place of honor towards him. It doesn't have to do with our behavior, but it depends on the authority that God has placed upon them. By deeming someone as unworthy of honor, we are cutting God's flow and setting ourselves up for a partial reward. Choosing to not honor someone in which God honors, we are actually directly dishonoring God, because in the end of Romans 14:4, it says that it's God who causes them to stand. By us saying, I'm not going to honor that person, I don't see anything in them, God's saying, are you doubting my ability to cause that person to stand? I'm going to start closing. I'm going to have the praise team come up. You know, every time you decide that this person is not worthy of honor, I want you to think, you weren't either. Jesus, the one who was blameless, the one who committed no sin, the one that is worthy of all honor, died on the cross for you, who was unworthy. And he says that the way you treat the least of these is how you treat me. When we treat our masters as the way that we treat Christ, he's honored. As we treat our parents as if they were Christ, he's honored. As we treat those who are homeless, not expecting anything from them, freely giving our honor to them, he's honored. And when he's honored, God, the Father, in heaven, God Almighty, he says, I honor you. There's a reward that comes with our honor. Now, we don't do it for the reward, mind you. We do it out of love. I love my parents. I honor my parents out of love. Okay, the fifth commandment, honor your parents. Okay, honor your father and mother. It says also that that love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Honor, love those more than yourself. All the commandments, all the laws and prophets, they cling onto these two commandments. We do it out of love, not for a reward. But we can't forget about the reward. We can't lose sight of the reward. I'm going to close with this. Matthew 10:41. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Put a demand on the full reward and don't lose sight of it. You know, honor is not a one-time thing. Today's Father's Day. Today's Father's Day, we don't just honor our father today, right? Father's Day is supposed to be a day that jumpstarts a momentum. Oh man, I forgot to honor my father. I gotta start honoring my father more and more. Same with Mother's Day. Same with the leadership banquet. This isn't a one day thing where we just honor our leaders today. It's supposed to jumpstart a momentum of honoring our leaders. It's supposed to start creating a lifestyle of honor. Because why? Because it honors God. He loves it to give honor. He loves to receive honor. And he loves it when his sons and daughters give and receive honor, outdoing one another in honor, giving honor where honor's due. Put a demand on the full reward and don't lose sight of it. You know, the temptation is to move from, leave the sanctuary and be really, really nice to everyone for about a week. But we got to get honor into our hearts. Amen? Let's be a people that chooses to understand the power of honor, choose to honor from the heart, and not lose sight of God's reward. Okay, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to give everyone here a chance to respond. If you have been feeling like you've been experiencing a difficulty in placing value in those that you are called to honor, if you have been having trouble honoring your parents, if you have been having trouble honoring your employees or your boss, if you have been having trouble honoring those around you, your spiritual authority, your CG leader, your friend, and you can feel that you are cutting the flow of life that God desires, so much desires to flow into your life, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you today. There's a lot of hands raised. Keep your hands raised until I pray for you. I'm going to pray today for there to be hope in your situation. I'm going to pray for you that dishonor will no longer be something that is a crutch in your life. That God desires to flow through you, whether that's through people, whether it's through Him directly, whether it's through your brother, whether it's through your sister, whether it's through your employer, whether it's through your employee, whether it's through your pastor, whether it's through your spiritual authority, whether it's through your CG leader, whether it's through your familial leader, whoever you are having trouble dishonoring, I'm going to pray for God to give you a grace right now to see them and to place value in them, so much value that you see them as special because God sees them as special. Lord, right now I pray for every single hand raised, and I pray, God, that you would give them a fresh flow of your river. No longer would their decision to dishonor place a dam against the river of life that you are choosing to flow into their lives. God, I pray right now that whatever difficulty they're having trouble in honoring those above, below, to the side, God, that it would not inhibit, God, your ability to bring blessing, to bring life, and to bring honor into their lives. Change their hearts today, God. Cause them to value and to understand the power of honor, to choose honor from their hearts, and to understand that through it they will get a reward. In Jesus' name I pray.